You're listening to Bigologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.bigologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow bigologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Hello, everybody. This is Faye speaking. I am in the audio chat live stream of fakeologist.com. And in Middle Europe, it is Friday, the 18th of May, 2018. And I am waiting here for Seneca to join me and to what everyone else who would like to join us. We have planned to discuss about the Fakopedia at fakeologist.com/fakopedia. And meanwhile, because there has happened a new school shooting psyop in the United States, namely in Santa Fe, Texas, we are quite intensely writing in the general unverified text stream. Yes, Seneca, if you can hear me, it would be great if you join me. Otherwise, I will talk a little bit about this mass shooting psyop. What I know from this event is that it is said that at 8 o'clock in the morning, local of course, and because there was a drill announced and the drill being conducted, the students were behaving as they were told. And at one point, they were told to run and to try to save themselves. That is from an interview that was on MSNBC, if I remember right. The link is on this general unverified stream, if you want to look it up. Yes, and it is a narrative of one shooter who has been identified meanwhile. It is a 17-year-old character with a Greek name called, Dimitrios Pagurdzis. There are also some photos of him, and these photos are very interesting. I was just now trying to load them on Photoshop. There is one image with three parts that is, as it is said in the media, from his Facebook account. And there are three pictures, three slices, I think we can call it. And in all three of these images, the part around the neck looks photoshopped. Seneca is asking me where I am. I am in the live stream, dear Seneca. Are you going to join me? Ah, there is Seneca. Hello, hello. Can you hear me, Seneca? Hello, Seneca, can you hear me? Seneca can't hear me. Ah, you can. Okay, so I understand that you cannot talk. Maybe it's, I guess it's because of the surrounding and the time structure of underaged human beings. I'm not sure about that. Just speculating. But do you want us to meet later, Seneca? Would you prefer us? Ah, technical. Okay.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you. Hi. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm also fine, yeah. I did a lot today and I'm really satisfied with the results. I don't mean now, you know, ecological stuff, but just other stuff. It was okay. A good day, that's what I mean. And you? Hey, Dave.
Hello.
Yeah, so what do you think? Can we talk, or do you want us to meet later? Or are you? Is everything okay? Or
yeah, it's okay for me. I can talk.
Mm-hmm. Dave, for you also? Dave is not answering. Dave has sometimes technical problems with his connectivity, I think. I saw that other times. So we just talk, and Dave is listening, obviously, and joins and rejoins. Taneka, what do you think? Shall we go over the notes that we have done on the forum? Or shall we talk free and take some notes here on the Fecopedia stream and then transform them to I don't know. Huh? What is easier?
Can Dave J type?
Dave J can type, I guess, yes, because he's already typing. It's his connection. He has always problems, and he has said that he wants to organize a new kind of, I don't know, computer or whatever it is.
Okay.
I think we should not, you know, wait for him to start the discussion, because he said the other time he would like only to listen, and if he has something to say, he will, of course, try to write it or reconnect. Or do you have something specifically with him to discuss?
No.
There you go.
Ah, okay. Dave, I can hear you a little bit now.
Okay, great.
Yes, hello.
Okay, Dave, I said just now that I would start, I would say that we start with the discussion, and if we lose you, you join and rejoin as you want, and we just don't wait for you. Is that okay?
Yep,
okay. Okay. And second point, Seneca, can you lead the discussion today? Or I cannot hear you now, Seneca. Go far away.
So I was just noticing about this story. One of the big things I noticed is that it's a 911 story.
Yeah.
Versus just your standard everyday hoax that comes out. It's going to turn into a more important story down the road as far as reaction by the so-called powers that be. Mm. So you can see that this one, to me, is going to be much like Sandy Hoax, where it's going to be bigger than just the normal everyday.
Yes, I thought so.
Hoax.
Yeah. Now we have a little organizational problem. This hoax, I don't know, Seneca, if you noticed it already, because you are in Belgium and we were writing here on the stream. It is in Santa Fe, Texas, a PSYOP that is going on right now.
No, I didn't know.
Mass school shooting. And the question would be, do we still talk about the Fecopedia as planned, and we can later talk about the PSYOP? What do you say, Dave? Because
it doesn't matter to me.
Okay. Because I would prefer to talk about the Fecopedia as we have planned.
Yeah, me too.
You too? Okay. So my other question was, Seneca, would you like to lead or direct, or how you say that in English, to manage or the discussion? Or is that too early for you?
I think you can lead it. You had all the points.
Yes, I know. I'm just not sure, because then I talk too much, and the other time I was already leading the discussion. Maybe it would be fairer if you would do, but if you don't want, then I would, of course, make it.
Yeah, I can try. We'll see how that goes.
Okay.
So, Dave, have you read the discussion?
Are you talking about the live stream notes?
I'll send you the link. Do you see it?
Let's take a look. Where did you post it?
General and verified.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's better to put it on Fecopedia because on the other, discussing the sale.
Yeah, I put it there, sorry.
Okay.
So there were five or six points. Yeah, the first was about a mission statement, but I want to skip that because I still haven't done that. So.
Okay.
The second point was the clearing of the PSYOP list.
Yep.
Because I and Faye both thought there were some information that there wasn't a PSYOP, like birth of Adolf Hitler, publication of National Geographic, and many more. So, so my proposal was then that we don't delete them, but we put them on a page so that we can use the information if we want later.
Okay.
So maybe we can talk which
one we take out
criteria for keeping it keeping it on the list.
I think we cannot go through the lists one by one because there are 500
some
things. I would propose that we discuss where do we integrate it, how do we call that other list, and then that someone does this work to take out the ones that he thinks or she thinks, put them in the other list, and then we work it out, let's say. That we have a basis, you know, to discuss about. Then we can say, oh no, this one we put it back, or the other one we let it, or something like that.
But that's just a basic criteria for keeping it. That it's really a PSYOP. It's like
okay, cool.
Like the definition. So there's some element of fakery involved, and there's some deceiving.
I write that down in the Fecopedia stream. And I write also that we don't mean Kantian criteria, but just descriptive criteria, so that we don't get any mess with what means criteria. We just try to find a modus. Is that right?
Sorry, what was the last thing?
Just continue. I wrote it down. You will see it in the stream.
To give the example of you put the birth of Adolf Hitler. It's not type. Even if it's it's invented that he was born on the day. It's not his birth. Is not itself a type. It's so. I think these things can go somewhere else.
I agree.
Okay.
National Geographic, shall we take that as an example, or is that...
I think it's also something that shouldn't belong there. It's not really a type in itself. Otherwise, you could add all the magazines, all the newspapers.
Yeah. Hi, Rolo.
Hi, guys. How you doing? I think we should call this Greg Abbott guy in Texas, Raymond Burr. Remember Raymond Burr?
Hey,
Harry Mason? Yeah, the guy's got it solved already. He knows what's going down. I just spoke to Brian Stavely. Hopefully Brian Stavely will come and join us in shortly. But, it's all going on in Texas. How you doing, Dave, Faye, and Seneca?
Hello.
Hello. Keep going.
Yeah.
Shall I read what I wrote down?
Go for it. Go for
that Rollo also knows what we're talking about. Sure. We are trying to clear the list of psyops in the Fecopedia because we have some things there that should not be there, and now we are discussing which are the criteria, descriptive criteria. We have two examples. One is the birth of Adolf Hitler or other guys, birth or something, because these are just events. His birth was natural. It is not a psyop. Then we have other types of events there. National Geographic is a good example. And we should take it to the other list that we are going to create because the magazines and publication dates of books or something else do not constitute psyops. They are just markers in the timeline for the psyops. Was that right, Soneka?
Yeah, I agree. another example is the death of Julius Caesar. I don't know if somebody said that it was fake or something, but
I don't understand the name. What was the name?
The death of Julius Caesar. I don't know why it is on the list of types.
Let me see. Where is it?
It's one of the first ones.
Yes, it's 0044 before Christus Natum, or how's that name called? I don't know. It is put there from Gaia. I don't know why he put it there. There is no research about it. It is possible that it could be a DCP, but we don't have any info. And I would also prefer to take it to the other list.
Yeah, so maybe all when there's no reference from Ecologist, Clues Forum, Hoaxbusters. Yeah, I think we shouldn't put it on the list. Or Miles Mattis.
Okay.
Like.
So also Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Would you agree, Dave Rollo? Do you agree?
It's on anything where somebody is claiming that the person is, in fact, not existing or doesn't exist in what history portrays them to be, it's a psyop. In fact, that's what Frank was saying in the... he's saying that the birth of Adolf Hitler is a psyop, therefore Hitler's a completely fictitious character. So you have to then say if somebody like that is going to create the post,
mm-hmm.
that whatever evidence you're going to cite for that, then what area would they put that in? Because I see no reason why you can't put, if you're going to make a case for it.
No, you know, the problem is if you have a Zim character, let's say. Let's take a 100% Zim character. Let's take Edward Snowden. I think we can say that the whole character is a simulation. He has also a birth date, but the birth date is not important as such. You know, the whole character is a psyop. And in the case of Hitler, we know that he was a real person. And he has a real birth date.
Well, that's the thing, though, Faye.
Yeah.
It's not a universal belief that Adolf Hitler is a person in the character that was presented in the so-called war clips and that type of thing. So there is a debate there. So I wouldn't... Yeah, so I would be some place for people to where would then they go? I mean,
So look, in both cases, just to be explicit, in both cases, if Hitler was a real person, or if he was not a real person, the simulated or real but not true birth date of him is not important as a psyop. The whole narrative of him is a psyop. So it's not the date where we integrate him. We integrate him under his, under the narrative that the psyop has, under the story, under the nationism or Nazism or whatever. His birthday alone is not a psyop.
Well, it's just a detail as far as I'm concerned. So...
No, but you know, the question is, if we do it like that, then we should have the birthday of Isaac Newton, the birthday of Wolfgang Mozart, the birthday of Napoleon Bonaparte. That's the problem. And if we want to research him, there is no rejection of the research about Hitler. It's only if it is a list of psyops, then birthdays are not psyops. That's something like that.
Yeah, you just, to me, then it just, you would have to just make, you know, the detail of a character that that's the point of contention. Just put it on the character page itself.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
You could put an asterisk. Yeah, so to be a problem, really.
No, I think not. What do you say, Seneca or Rollo?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Just maybe to add to that, the other opened topic that we have is that there are several and multiple characters or real persons or half-simulated characters or whatever, which are not... which we cannot integrate in such a list as PSYOP, but we have to integrate them in the Fecopedia. And for that, we want to create a category of where we can research directly through the sure names and personal names of characters. And that's where possibly Adolf Hitler would end in the end.
Yeah, and... And if he's involved in a PSYOP, he can be on the list on the PSYOP where he's involved.
He's involved in one of the biggest PSYOPs perpetrated, you know, in modern history. So
he is
part of a very big PSYOP. However, I think what people are saying is this person, was this person born, grew up, and lived as this person, or was this character, the little mustache and the hyperactive kind of mannerisms, was this a person in their natural habitat, or was this another person just acting out this character for the camera? I think that's the...
So there are two things generally that have to do with him. He is an acting part of PSYOPs. And as such, he is in this list under the PSYOPs, and under the biggest of this last century, as you say correctly.
Yeah.
But he is also, as a person or as a character, as a figure, he has a separated also entity to research, because that's interesting for many people, and it is a big research topic.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different tentacles, I guess you can say, that come out from that one name.
Exactly, yeah. But I think we agree all that the birth date, as given in the school history books, is not the important thing of all that. It is part of the research about his character and his history and his workings, of how to say that. And he is also important, as I said, as part of PSYOP narratives that have been conducted.
Yeah.
What do we else have? We have some things that I want to ask you. What do you think about them? Which I personally don't know if these were PSYOPs or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have put them there, and I want to research them, but they take much time. It's the whole Cold War European left and right terrorism period with Brigate Rossi in Italy, Italia, and RAF in Germany, and some others in France and Ireland. I have no idea. Should they be there, or should we take them out?
I think several aspects of it could be, depending on how you're going to break it down. Let's say like the Minuteman missile thing. There's lots of sub stories that, if you take those sub stories, they're just a continuing reaction to an overarching narrative. And when I say overarching, that means that there's a specific running storyline, and those are just individual chapters.
Mm. Okay. So would you say we leave them in the list? Shall I give an example?
It's pretty involved, yeah.
Shall I give a big example, maybe? Let's take the... When was that? I don't know. I don't remember. It's the kidnapping and assassination of Hans-Martin Schleyer in Germany, which is one of the biggest, let's say, terror acts on European soil in the...
What's the name again?
Hans-Martin Schleyer. It is on the list right now, but I don't remember the year, you know, to find it.
Oh, that last name.
S-C-H-L-E-I-E-R.
Okay, I have it.
I'm going to take a quick look at that.
You were in the situation where there's no link to any ecologist website. So, yeah, this one I would put somewhere else, and then somebody can investigate it, and then.
So, I think it is important that we discuss it. Another maybe better known example is the kidnapping and assassination of Aldo Moro.
There was something about it on Clues forums.
Yes, there is much investigation about that, but it is an open investigation also. It has not a conclusion.
Yeah.
And these are very similar events. So, okay, I make a proposition, if I may, that we make the criteria for those that for sure go into the list that does not constitute psyops, as the dates of Jesus Christ and Caesar, etc., and these magazines, and then we discuss maybe of having another list with open investigations about psyops.
Yeah.
So that we have, in the end, we have three lists. We have verified ones, we have open investigations, and we have non-psyops, but interesting topics to investigate. Or psyop-related interesting topics. How about that? Yeah.
I was thinking maybe what we also can do is, for example, this Hans-Martin Schleyer. Before we remove it to the other list, we can just do a quick search on the Wikipedia website, so if there is mentioned there, and if he is, we can keep it and just put a link to an article about him.
I didn't understand that. Sorry.
So, for example, this Hans Schleyer.
Yeah.
Before removing it, we can just do a quick search on the websites like Clues for Wikipedia. And then,
oh, yes, I've done that already.
And if we do find something, maybe we can can stay on the list.
Well, I've done that already. There is nothing about those psyops there.
I was reading just through some of the description on Wikipedia. There's hoax elements to this person's character. That's for sure. Their history. So if I looked into this, there's some red flags for sure on this guy.
I think there are many red flags. The biggest red flag is 9/11. That after 9/11, and to be clear about 9/11, that it did not happen as told. Everything, and to be clear about Kennedy, and this is all in between. This is the so-called Gladio in Europe. And they are always presented as a real massive terror attacks, etc., with many deaths and all this stuff. And after the knowledge of the ecological view upon Kennedy and 9/11, I think it is a very serious suspicion against those events and a serious demand to investigate them. From our point of view, that's what that was my thought when I put them in there in the list. Another idea would be that we just mark them on the list with a special color and have a legend under the list or over the list to say that this color means they are not yet investigated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you mean we do that with all the hoaxes that we're not sure of, that they should be on the list? I mean,
or with those with that have not been investigated, not with
yeah.
those.
But also, yeah, death of Jesus Christ, or
No. Those are the
just.
No, because with the other ones, there are clear criteria. The birth is not a natural event, or National Geographic is not the PSYOP itself, Caesar, Jesus, etc.
Yeah.
I think that is more clear. In the other case, it is there are events that have all the characteristics of intelligence operations.
Okay.
We are not just not sure if these people died in that events, let's say. So that's the open point. It's not an open point if they are organized and executed from military and intelligence operators, or what are they called. The question is only, are these events PSYOPs, or are these events murders, or whatever they would be in other cases?
I agree with Frank that intelligence organizations are a PSYOP. That's a fact. I actually called the CIA once in the United States to let them know that they were pushing a hoax. They were putting some sort of information through the news organization. I called their headquarters, and I spoke with one of their public relations persons. I told them about it. I mean, what can you do?
Okay, how do we continue, Seneca?
It's for me. It's okay to mark them, like you said, but how should we mark?
I can do that. I can do that with a caller or something, you know.
Yeah.
So shall we continue with those other ones? What else examples do we have that maybe should... this is a good example. The Simpsons. 1989, December 17, starts the first episode of The Simpsons. Is that a PSYOP? It's a program that runs now 30 years already. And it is, of course, it is a programming operation, but I do not think that it is a PSYOP, let's say, with this concept that we...
Probably the understanding the person had when they put that in is that you have a show that purports to show things that happen at a later date, all pre-planned. Take 9/11, for example. So then that once that event happens, you can go back and say, oh, look at this show. It was, it was clairvoyant or some. They'll put some supernatural element to it, when in fact it's just a, those that wrote those scripts were just aware of the future script, meaning that there's no magic there. Yeah. It's just part of the system. So therefore, as a whole, it may be, it's just part of a larger logical operation, meaning that as you watch it, you'll be inculcated with certain information that when it comes to pass, you'll say, oh yeah, I remember that here, bang, bang, boom, you connect the dots.
Mm.
Yes, but I agree completely with you, what you stated about The Simpsons and what is the function of it, you know. The only problem is that applies to so many productions. It applies to, I don't know, even the names of all these series, etc., and all the other stuff that are produced, the news and the articles and in magazines and whatever. And I think if we would... they are integrated, because they are integrated in the hoax management of several PSYOPs, and they are also part of the Zal rule often. I don't know if the Simpsons concretely are part of the Zal rule. I think so. So they are integrated, but they do not constitute a PSYOP as such. And it's also the same problem with the is the first of them. I don't know. It doesn't. On the other hand, it doesn't hurt anyone if we let it there. So I don't know. But it's not a psyop. It's not.
I go farther though. I go a little bit farther, and this is where in the thinking that we might have a I don't know a disagreement, but it really doesn't matter. I guess at the end is that newspapers, media of any type, weekly magazines, TV shows throughout that are produced through the own networks of the corporate media, part of the machine, meaning that if you look under the hood, you're going to see part of the machine. Therefore, anything produced by them is part of the machine. So it's all part of a massive. I go a bit farther than that. So it's like picking out individual pieces and then trying to decide that, no, that doesn't belong to the machine. However, it's produced by the machine. Therefore, it's part of it just by its creation. So
yeah, I agree with both of you, but the question is it useful that it should be on the list of psyops, just like other psyops, like 911, like Sandy Hook? Should it be on the same list, or do we have another list with other?
Yeah, you have various degrees of or importance of parts of the same machine, meaning that, yes, 9/11 and Sandy Hooks were very... they were important in that they pushed for like when I say a 911 hoax, there's been several 911 hoaxes throughout history, and those are ones that are used to catapult the discussion to the next rung on this scripted path that everyone's on. Just like today's PSYOP with the hoax in Santa Fe, coded hoax, meaning that it's going to be used to catapult the narrative another step down the road. When you have a lot of so-called school shootings, which are in fact just, they are just used as fodder, meaning they're not going to be ridden like a horse. I call this a white horse event, meaning that this is going to be ridden like a horse onto the next you know, checkpoint. And that will play out over the next several days.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a bunch of so-called lawmakers and lawgivers coming out and using it as their saddle. They're going to saddle up on this thing and ride it as much as they can.
I agree also with both of you. I just try to find now a modus how to combine all the ideas that we have said, because actually we agree all. The only difference is, I think, that Seneca and myself, we have a more clearer, let's say, structure for the list of psyops in mind. That means that we have to do here with events that have specific characteristics in the media that are, let's say, promoted and managed in the media sphere, and that are of event character. And the Simpsons as such is, of course, a programming, a social engineering or whatever operation. And it is not wrong, as you described it, Dave. I agree completely with that. But do we handle it the same way as we handle the execution of Ceausescu? That's the question. Do we want that, the combination of several types in this list? I think actually it's not a problem to do it like that. We anyway do the research on separate pages for each one of these psyops. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, both is okay for me.
What's okay for you?
You asked Dave, you know? Do you ask me or Dave?
You said for me it's okay for me, but what did
both.
You mean?
For me it's okay. For me, it's okay if we have the Simpsons in the in this list. We should then maybe actually add in the types, in the categorization, we should add that this is the discourse psyop. It is not just an event. It is a whole series of programming operation or manipulation. And it would be also okay if you make a separate list. For me, both is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you say, Seneca and Dave?
Yeah, I think if we put things like this on the list, it will be just too big to handle. Because you can start adding all movies to the list just when they came out, or
yes, or true, actually.
When I start a new documentary series, or when I start a news program, I think it should be a bit separated from.
Hey?
I was just reading through the comments as we were talking, because Frank is listening live, and he was wanting me to talk again about the Mandela effect. Breakthrough, which he saw when I was speaking about the Simpsons and how that is used to tell a story of the future. It just being part of the machine already understands that the script is being written. So therefore, that when the scripted event happens on that show as foretelling the future. But that also goes farther into what's called the Mandela effect is... and things remembered. If you put an Easter egg into a story, you understand that this is going to be produced at a later date, or it's going to be brought up. I can go ahead and put an Easter egg,
Movie
or into a story or into a clip, and then as it's brought up later down the road, especially if you claim a person's died and this, that, and the other thing, then you can go ahead and out just like a course, just like a script, so that when it is actually used to confuse down the road, so then people who are dealing with what's called the Mandela effect are actually fell into a scripted narrative, which all was already pre-planned for them.
Yeah.
So it's
okay. Okay, I understand.
But that goes into a larger understanding of how everything can be considered part of the psyop, what we were talking about. So
but
when
on
you
the
have,
concrete, yeah. Dave, on the concrete now, would you prefer it to be, or let me put the question otherwise, in the direction of a solution, could you live with the solution that we have on this list the event psyops of the type 9/11 and similar, and that we have another list where we have entertainment, education, or whatever other is also psyop, you know, so that we have a kind of categories that are separated, because the list is already, and that is a problem. If you want to scroll down, you have to wait, and if you want to work on the list, you have always to wait very long to save the things, to make corrections or to add something. So actually it would really be useful to separate two or three kinds of lists we have already. Actually, we have a sub-list for airplane crashes, a sub-list for space fakery, and another one, which I don't remember now. So we do make that separation of groups of psyops, because otherwise we cannot work on the material. So I repeat the question, would it be okay for everyone that we separate entertainment and other similar psyops and create a new list only for those, like a sub-list to the main list? As we have
categorizing, categorizing it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That would be fine for you. For you, Seneca?
Yeah.
Okay. I write it down. Can you help me with writing it down? I mean, just the groups that we have. We have one list, which is the main list. Then we have second, the entertainment. These are the sure things, the verified, let's say. The main list, in the verified are those who are not yet investigated, so they are marked with a color that they are suspicious and they are not investigated. Then we have entertainment and all similar things. And then we have a third list, which is more with dates or birth or things that are not that are actually touching on all or many other psyops or events or series of events, but as a singular thing, they do not constitute a psyop. As, for example, the publication date of National Geographic, or the death of Caesar, or the birth of Hitler, or, let's say, what else? Example? Monica Lewinsky scandal. Is that a psyop that stays in the Monica Lewinsky? Do I say it right? Or Lewinsky? Monica Lewinsky scandal with Bill Clinton?
I do. What's interesting about Monica Lewinsky scandal is this. One, that was a hoax and it was a psyop. However, it brought in something very important that was going to be used down the road. That is when the character known as Bill Clinton said, it depends on what the meaning of is. To understand what ISIS is became important down the road. You understand? Time, it wasn't put together, but he said it depends on what the meaning of is. And it still depends on what the meaning of is, because they'll put out is as being a terrorist group, which does not exist. Right? Mm-hmm. They claim it does, but in fact it does not. So you can see how then the script writers then add in, like I call them Easter eggs, principle, you know, now that we've gone through the so-called, we've gone past those story markers. However, at the time, it seems relevant to what he's talking about, or it seemed maybe a little out of place, you know, a little bit too lawyerly. However, in retrospect, it makes a lot of sense, because it does depend on what the meaning of the word is.
If you are always in the highest of all spheres of thought, and we are now on the lowest, you know, we are on the completely basic, practical, boring level of, you know, separating things and put them in several lists, you know. I agree completely with your analysis, but it doesn't help now to separate the stuff.
Yeah. I can't go on.
For me, because the analyst or someone else, it's the same for me.
Okay. Do you have other examples that we should discuss as examples? I repeat maybe so that we don't that we come back on track what we are discussing. We are discussing about basic criteria, only descriptive, how to separate several groups. We have already groups of in the Fakopedia, the space fakery list, the plane crashes list, and one other which I don't remember.
The New Cokes.
The New Cokes list. There are also many, many, many separate entries. And now we are discussing of more separation of the main list. And one would be important hoaxery stuff is not really a psyop as such. And examples are Birth of Adolf Hitler, National Geographic publication, Caesar, Jesus. The other one is a list of entertainment-related material and entries. And now the question was, I think, what else of examples should we discuss so that we see if that is enough, for example. Maybe these three lists are enough for the moment. How about the medical stuff?
What we also can do is we just make a list with everything that doesn't fit in any list, and then we can still later see what we can do with it. We don't have to know everything.
Which are miscellaneous.
Yeah, which would you take as an example for that, Seneca? I'm curious.
Like launch of YouTube. It's
launch of YouTube.
Is it entertainment or is it technology?
It's technology.
Yeah.
Okay, technology would be also one list. which would be important, I think.
Facebook and also technology.
Yeah, there are several things. Well, let me note that. Technology. Okay. How about the medical stuff? That was my question previously. We have a type of psyops that are long-term actors.
Mm-hmm.
And we call them MCP, if I'm right. Medical... let me find an example.
Patrick Johnson, Michael J. Fox.
Yes, yes.
And things like that, yeah. The old, Parkinson's, it's touch your nose. And he touches his nose, and then he forgets that he wasn't supposed to do that. That was too funny.
Yeah. Should we separate them or let them on this?
Medical name? Hoaxes or medical psyops, something like that.
Medical psyops, medical hoaxes, yeah.
That makes me laugh every time I see it.
Dave, do you see a difference? Is it for you not exactly the same hoax and psyop? I ask because it's of general interest. But maybe
No, because, I mean, a hoax is definitely a psyop, because all of it is trying to get you to either think or react or feel a certain way. So they're interchangeable to me. Hoax, unfortunately, has been a word that has been abused to the point to where its meaning or its definition has been forgotten or confused. While hoax is a proper word to use many times, people... confuse it with fake.
Can you give an example, Dave?
Okay, when I say, for example, war is a hoax, they'll say, okay, so what you're saying is that it's fake. Nobody went, no, that's not what I'm saying. Then I go further to say that it's a hoax, it's controlled demolition and strategic relocation. Then you're able to fill out the details more. But if somebody just says it's fake, that nobody went. No, it's just all made up in words or a mental picture. So it's a bit different word.
Okay. Okay. Let's do a discussion about that one day. Not now, maybe, because we have so much to discuss about the Wikipedia. But I would be very interested in what you all think about these three terms: fake, hoax, psyop, etc. It's important, I think. Okay, do we have other examples? Or shall we start with this, let's say, pattern now and work it? I would like to do this work, if you agree, but we can also try to do it together. I think it would be a little bit difficult to do it together, how to coordinate it, working at the same time on the list. Does any one of you want to do it? Okay. If there are no objections, I will do it. So my proposition would be, we make a try with these three. Are we four? We have now four defined: main, entertainment, technology, and other hoaxery stuff like Geographic, Caesar, etc. So I would try to separate these four lists, and then we would continue with the discussion, or we can then intervene also directly in the Wikipedia. When I put something in a list and you think it doesn't belong in that list, you can put it in the other list.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a modus.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, what you could do even just before starting to cut and paste things from the list, you could also mark them and then we can discuss them, and then after that,
I can do that without marking. I would take them out.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Thanks, App. Okay, the easier way is I take all the lists, I copy all the lists in an Excel document, and then separate the three lists. What's that? Dave, what are you cooking?
That's my cat.
Ah, it's a, okay. Very loud cat you have. Yeah. I separate them on the Excel, and we discuss the Excel before we change the Wikipedia. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Rolo, Seneca? You're doing something? I think that was a yes.
What was the question?
No, I just said to your proposal that we discuss it before we do the copy-paste. I do not change anything on the Wikipedia. I just work on an Excel sheet, separate the four lists there, and we discuss them on the Excel sheet before we change the Wikipedia. That would be the easiest way, you know, because on the Wikipedia it's very difficult to create and to change lists. It's not so easy, this format. But on Excel it's very easy.
Okay.
So can we close this topic?
For me it's okay.
It's okay, too. I believe Rolo's having fun right now with Texas governor channeling Perry Mason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's, I guess the Texas governor's channeling Perry Mason right now.
Okay.
It's one of those funny things that these hoaxes bring out.
Yeah, I was watching Ghost of Life. Yeah, please.
Actually, Faye, I have to go.
Hey, that's not possible. You cannot go now. We just started.
We did 1 point.
We did 1 point. What? How many points do we have left?
I cannot. Yeah, sleep. Sorry. Because I'm going to sleep here.
Okay. Will you have time later or tomorrow? Maybe. No, we can do also in half an hour if it's more possible for you. As I understand, you cannot take much time at once, but maybe smaller portions.
You mean this evening or?
Either this evening later or tomorrow afternoon, evening or whatever.
Yeah, Sunday will go for me.
Sunday, okay. For half an hour or something.
Yeah, or an hour.
Or an hour, okay. Do you want to say a time that fits for you?
Yeah, 9 to 10. Like now.
Like today, okay, cool. For me it's okay. For you, Dave?
Yeah.
That I don't believe.
I didn't even... it's okay, okay.
I won't be around, I don't believe, tomorrow.
Okay, cool. So, Sunday evening, 9 o'clock, Brussels time.
Okay.
Okay, cool. See you.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I have to go.
No problem. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So, let's talk about Texas. Rolo, are you there? Can you inform us? Rolo is on the balcony. Dave, do you want to talk about Texas?
Yes, I can just add what I noticed, which first off was just the 9/11 aspect of it. And that, and whenever it's put into the bold or into the headlines, you know it's going to be pushed as a bigger footprint. It's going to be used as a bigger story than some of the others that have come out in the previous days or weeks. A lot of times they have a buildup. Gain momentum, and then use something as a springboard for action. So that's what I call the 9/11 stories. You know, you look at 9/11 itself, the actual 9/11 when we say that, and that was a springboard that was used to go into all kinds of other businesses.
That was a complete game changer, as we say. I think.
So this will be on a smaller scale. However, to me, in the next few days, will bear this out. It will be used as the springboard to happen. Yeah.
Let me ask you, how do you do this recognition on grounds of the numerology, or what is the name? Numerology?
Well, it's accept,
yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead, finish your statement.
No, just the question. How do you do this assessment, let's say? Is it a general assessment, or is it the numerological aspect, or is it combined? Or because I have the same assessment, but I do not do it upon the numbers, because I don't work with numbers. My brain doesn't work with numbers.
Thing as a schematic, meaning that when I look at a story of words, I see it as a schematic, meaning I can see it as a blueprint.
Okay.
So it's almost like a map. I look at the language used, breaks down to tone. So then I look at what type of wavelength this story is going to be putting out. And then, yes, I look at the understanding of numbers. If it goes through 7-11, it means that it's nothing more than your run-of-the-mill standard psyop or hoax. But if it moves into the 9-11 phase right away, you're going to have – that's going to be used as a springboard, or what I call it, as a larger event. And now within that, you're always going to have the eight details. The eight's always details. The seven's always the initial thump to your head, meaning it's putting an idea into your head. So I deal with numbers only 1 through 9. It boils down to 1 through 9. And that is the, like I say, but it's not used as a lot of people would go into numerology and use birth dates and all that and specific years of this and that. To me, it's much simpler than that, because the mind works quite – when you walk up to somebody that you trust and they tell you something, you generally believe them because they are somebody who you find to be trustworthy. They have no reason to lie to you, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of people then accept – officials and words like an official said. If I said an official said, if you're not of this kind of fakeologist mindset, said something to you, what's your first takeaway from that? That's the official story. That's the official line. So therefore, why would this guy, you know, purposely walk out and lie to me? That's what the general public would then say, or what they're thinking. So even if they don't voice that, their internal, you know, their internal mind, their computer is what I call it, a mind computer, calculates this statement as being true.
Mm-hmm.
It is being true before and they may never even get to the point to where they ask if it's false, because that light is never turned on in their head, or they're never pushed to that calculation. Is this a false statement I was just given?
Mm-hmm.
Is my echoing or repeating of this story, is it even true? Because they believe it to be true because they were told to it by somebody who they put their faith in, their trust in, right? So you see how it's a system that has a lot of aspects to it. It's not just as simple as saying, I'll look at this and then go with it. It has a bit more nuance to it.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, and actually I don't disagree. I also don't disagree with your analysis of the Mandela effect. It's my own position also. I have written something about it in the Fakeopedia under... Oh, where is it exactly? Maybe under 9/11 narrative analysis, about this predictive programming and... this narrative of the elites are supernatural, which you also mentioned previously.
Right.
How did you call it? You didn't call it supernatural, but something similar.
I said magical. Did I say magical?
Yes, could be. I think it was something with superficial, maybe?
I said supernatural at one point today. I don't know.
Supernatural. I think I agree exactly with you that it is the desired outcome of this strategy. to...
Absolutely.
As we were talking with the Simpsons, and yes, I think it is also a very important part, because this conspiratorial atmosphere in the society that... To lose control, because you cannot trust anyone, and you cannot trust the media, you cannot trust the government, you cannot trust the other human beings. All this is, but you have to fear that aliens could invade you or whatever. All this is on purpose, of course, because confusion creates insecurity. Insecurity makes you adaptive or adaptable, or how to say that. And, yes, I find it very interesting that you have very similar thoughts to mine in these topics.
Frank was asking in the chat, he asked, are there any real stories in the MSN? And I'm going to go out and say there are no stories without agenda. There, you may find a fact or something that's verifiable. However, there are no stories that are put out without an agenda that have not been and are being used for an end or means to an end.
Yeah.
And even with the hoax alien agenda and all that stuff, if you were to able to take an idea or a story, if you were to write that story on a piece of paper and then make a wheel around it with spokes and take that story and say, okay, this story branches out to all these different aspects, and write those down too. And then do that same thing. You're gonna come up with a schematic, like I told you about, that is going to list several different aspects of this hoax, or I guess I should say society is another word to say it, or this general mindset, because a society is nothing more than a group of like-minded people, or at least at the periphery, they're like-minded. They have a general understanding of what the society is supposed to be built upon, and then they have disagreements within certain aspects of how those should be done, right?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be free, this, that, and the other thing, and then the disagreement comes in, well, how do we go about doing that? So that's how you have what's called political strife, the idea of back and forth.
Mm.
So then I was thinking, if people did that with their own thoughts, what they consider to be truth and reality, they'd be very surprised at what dots they have not connected to themselves. And it truly is this. It is lazy is a hard word, so I won't use it. However, it's just not allowing them to take that step or take that time to connect the dots. Because if you've looked into this, let's say, for an example, moon landing hoax. Nobody went to the moon. And then you have to then ask yourself, well, if nobody went to the moon and they didn't, why didn't they go? And then you start to explore the reasons why they didn't go. And then when you find out why those reasons, why those milestones couldn't be achieved, then you understand why, then you ask yourself, why wasn't that achieved? And then you find out that there's a whole series of things that you used to believe in which are not capable of being done.
Mm-hmm.
And just wipe the slate. You wipe the foundation of what you believe it was true. You wipe it clean. You dust the floor. You sweep it out.
Mm-hmm.
Out of your head. And now all that extra room that you have, you can actually start to build upon. And like I say you should build the foundation upon your own investigation and what you have proven to yourself to be true. Don't accept another person's word for it. You can listen to them. You can hear the words that they say, the tones they use. Then you go out and you check it yourself. You verify it yourself. You don't witness to something that you are not actually saying is, in fact, a fact or a truth.
Yeah.
It's easy.
I have many thoughts about all that you are talking, but in the background of my mind, I have always a question that I want to put, since we started talking about Texas, and maybe I should ask you now so that we can continue afterwards with the higher spheres of thoughts. I mentioned today that, because actually it happened just to be watching there, what was going on in the media, and I saw that this psyop was going on. And I followed it every 10 or 50 minutes. I passed by on my laptop and looked into it. and I saw that in the beginning they were saying a very curious phrase. They were saying 8 to 10
right.
possible victims. And because you are so much engaged with numbers, do you see any specific meaning of that? Or have you mentioned it other times in PSYOPs that they use it? Often they say at least, and we have understood, we abstract now the PSYOP analysts or whatever, that at least is something like a code in the media that means we don't know because there is nobody dead, actually. So we say at least because it makes a little bit the weight of the consciousness of the untruth in that statement becomes a little bit smaller if you say at least. If you say at least, it's something you hide behind the lie, which is at least 10 or at least. But today they didn't say at least, they said 8 to 10. So what does it mean? What do you think about that?
This is what I took from that. And this is what I take from all these stories that do the between 8 and 10. Well, what is between 8 and 10?
9. That's what I thought myself. Also, I don't like numbers.
Yeah, so 9 is what's referred to as Tet. Now, Tet is...
T-E-T?
Like the Tet Offensive in the Vietnam War hoax.
Oh, that's
that the Tet Offensive, meaning that this is offensive. Now remember, 9, all numbers are neither good nor bad. It is the intent of the user that makes them good or bad. So then if I'm gonna assault the 9, if I'm gonna assault your 9, that's the highest rung before the 11, before the crashing down. You understand? Because 10 is the IO. That's the input output. If you believe this story to be true, you're gonna cycle around and eat your own tail. Meaning you're going to eat your own story. To be true, you're going to eat all the details of it because you're going to eat it up. You're going to desire more. You're going to want to hear more. So do you see how that refers to somebody eating their own tale or eating their own story? So the 9 is a big one. And in fact, when I heard that, I knew this was going to be a 9/11 story or one that's being used to be used. It's going to be used as a springboard. Otherwise, it would have been strictly a 7-coded story, which it still was, because the same cop, the same police guy was saying that although he didn't have an exact time, it was somewhere between 7:30 and 8. And right between 7:30 and 8 is 7:45, which goes down to 16, which reduces to 7.
So
you always, yeah.
No, are you saying that 8 to 10 is, let's say, an elegant way to not say 9? So how do we say that? To describe it instead of writing. Instead of saying 9, you say 8 to 10. So you have enclosed the 9.
It's a deceptive story because if you're speaking of, and this is where I don't want to lose you or annoy people, but when you get past the 8, the 8 would be the outside of a containment system or outside of a cube or outside of a contained story. Yeah. Then you're into 9 and 10, and that's all ether type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's stuff that's above the actual person.
Yeah.
That means that something's about to come raining down on you.
Okay. That's a whole narrative which is very interesting, actually. And I cannot say that I really understand it, but I imagine something when you're talking about that. And that's enough for me at the moment, you know, that I can create my own imagination about it. But one more question. In the end, in this today, at least in the end, when I read the last state of things, there were 9 students and 1 teacher allegedly dead.
Now,
so we have a 10 then.
Yeah, so then if you, like I say, remember I told you that the 10 is the IO.
Mm-hmm.
You choose to turn that 0 into a 1, you're going to have 9-1-1.
Okay.
Meaning that if you believe this story, if you accept it as being truth, crashing down, meaning your towers, your left and right side, your head comes crashing down, and you are your sanity is destroyed by accepting a lie as true. You believe this story, you accept it as being true, and now when they rain down on you all these demands, either maybe laws or other type demands that they're going to demand from the so-called citizens, then you will accept it because that is part of your truth. That's part of now your temple. That's who you, that's for lack of a better term, that is who you worship.
Okay. Yeah, I get it. I agree generally with your assessment. I mean, with the main assessment that you make, that this is an important event today, and that it will be used. You know, I don't make it upon the numbers because, as I said, I don't have this tool in my whatever construction or imagination. But from the stories that I was reading and listening to, and the pictures I was seeing, also the place, I found it very interesting that we have now a psyop in Texas, which is the most, let's say, gun-loving state of the United States, or at least in Europe. We get to know that image of that state, where, for example, people go to school for parent evenings between parents and teachers, etc., and they are wearing guns, and you are not allowed to drive a car, but you are allowed to buy a gun, and such stories are in the media here about Texas especially. So I think that is also important, and maybe they are going really for a gun grab.
Well, like I say, everything has been scripted well in advance. This is just an event that kind of kicks the can down the road a little bit more. There's going to be the show of debate and the back and forth. However, it's all been done. It's already in the works. Don't worry about it. You know, it's not something that I personally try to fight, because I'm not here to save the world. I'm actually here to destroy it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the world is what people believe in their head to be true.
Okay.
The world is what you imagine. The world is what you imagine it to be. All right? So all the stories that are in your head that you believe in, that is the world to you. All right? We're not talking about space and all that. We're talking about the world as it exists between your ears. Now, I'm not here to save the world, meaning to make it a great place to live in, because it never will be. I'm here to destroy the world that's presented to everybody.
So in your understanding, the world as it is imagined by the people is something that actually is deceptive. That's why you would like to destroy it, not because you are a hater of life or the world, but
well, the world has nothing to do with
things now.
Usage of the world. I'm not speaking about nature and man and woman,
okay,
and living on the plain and the dirt and the grass. That's not the world. The world is what people have between their ears. It is what drives them. It is what propels them day to day and what gives them purpose. So I am here to destroy the world that has been presented to them and that most have accepted as being true.
Yes. Okay. I understand now. You know, it's a matter also what words mean to someone. And for me, when I use the word world, I actually mean the nature, all these things that you said previously you don't call world. That's for me.
So yeah,
word.
We said.
Yeah. We have a different understanding just of the word, you know. Maybe it has to do also because, I don't have many words in English.
Because then you would have to then tell me what your word for somebody's imagination is, I guess, or understanding of
that's a big story.
Without using the world in its actual usage, you know, as what I said, then what you call the place that people imagine in their head as being the truth given to them by the news media and places like that. See, I choose to call it the world, because that is what. Well,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's okay, you know, that you call it like that. I just said that it's a matter to discuss with someone more than once, you know, to get to learn his words and the meanings of them, so that you can really contact with the other and to understand what he's saying. For me, I think the most actually part of what constitutes us is of imaginative art and not real. And that is also the power that is in all these structures that we are living in. And they do not depend only on technology. I mean, before technology and mass media and digital media, etc., there were always imaginative concepts, narratives, stories, whatever you want to call them, religions, etc., that in some way were useful actually for connecting people and creating whatever bigger groups, villages or countries or regions or common language groups or common food type groups or whatever. You know, all this material, quote unquote material, that connects, that makes you to be in common with others, is of imaginative nature. It's not that we sit under the same tree or that we eat the same bread or whatever. It's that we, when we communicate, we are in the same space of understanding, of words, of pictures, of beliefs, of thoughts, of whatever. Difficult to explain stuff, something like that. So I agree in what you're saying. I just am not used to call it world. And I don't call it temple as you do. And this is a very
well, temple is what the. It's not just me that calls it that. It's if you go to your doctor, you're above your eyeballs on the left and right side, those are called your temples.
Yeah. Two parts of the brain, you mean with that?
Left and right side is called your temples. That's a medical term. I didn't make it up.
It's really a medical term, okay. I didn't know that. I thought it is the religious term of temple, as in temple of Athene or something like that.
Words at least always have two meanings, if not more.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So, you know, I see in all this power that the media have today, I see exactly that. They create the common narratives for bigger groups. There is such a term, which actually I don't like very much because it comes from social sciences, maximal stress cooperation. Have you ever heard that? It's a kind of a term to describe that rulers produce situations that affect societies with maximal stress so that they find common places, imaginative places, so that, for example, you fight against the Muslims, and then you are someone because you belong to the Christians. It creates a common self-understanding, and that's called maximal stress cooperation. And PSYOPs have, I think, also this meaning that they create. For example, the French say that was the vocabulary of the politicians that were making the statements after Charlie Hebdo and Bataclan, that they were saying, we are French and we are sitting in the evenings outside in our cafes and we drink wine and we talk and we laugh. And the others do not do that. They do not like wine and pretty woman or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, did you, when you get a chance, take a look at General and Verify Chat. I left you a link for the temple.
Yes, I saw it just now. So it is, I don't know, I don't even know the German word. Temple. Oh.
On both left and right side, it's going to be called your temples. All right. So then so then what is stored between your temples? You'd know it as your brain, right? Kept in your brain, your thoughts, your ideas, your memories, your what you believe to be true and false. All that is what you worship in your temple. The understanding of worship is to give power to.
Yeah. Send it. I don't even know the word in Greek. It's really insane. I don't make use of that part of my head, probably.
I mean, it's I just find it interesting.
I thought, so you have the second, the first temple, the second temple.
But I can't hear him.
Original simulant. If you can hear me, your sound is very, very bad. We cannot understand you. Can you change something in your connection? Oh, I didn't mean you to leave. I just maybe rejoin. Maybe go to the lobby and come back. Maybe that helps. Okay. Anatomy.
Hopefully coming back in if he has got something to say.
Oh.
He's in the lobby.
I get him in. Oh, left.
Want to talk?
I don't know. I could hear something that he was speaking, but I couldn't understand him. So this part of the head, is it there where the lapis is? That is this other thing where neuro... Sciences say that there is the center of such stuff as religious feelings and universal thoughts and whatever. Does that have to do with these temples?
Well, I mean, it's just... because you have to think of it as a... Just draw a picture. This goes into also to the Mason drawings of pillars. So your two temples, your two pillars, and then what happens between those two pillars, what lights your life, your guiding light, and that is your belief that drives you. Believe to be true, what you've researched and looked into is what drives you forward. Your body doesn't just wander around aimlessly, it goes where your mind sends it. And what happens, that all happens in that temple. So then, like I say, you give worship to whether it be whatever that witness is. That's why, you know, if people believe in this false witness of murder that they see on TV, their entire existence within their temple is going to be nothing more than the worship of death. Not into a state of mourning.
Yeah, that means, so in my understanding, that would be that this, let's say, space that you fill with images and thoughts, just is afterwards is filled with those images and thoughts. So worshipping is not something, let's say, abstract or metaphysical. It's just these are the images that you are transporting all the time around. They are in your imagination.
They become your idols. That's what you look up to.
You think so, that it is the same thing? I mean, if
it's
I
absolutely watch... the same thing.
Okay.
But if you idolize something...
No, no, I mean, if you just see, let's say, you see the news in the TV, and you see something that is very terrible, and you don't like it, but you see it. So it is in your imagination afterwards. Maybe it gets lost sometime, but it is for a period of time, it is in your imagination. Is that equal to worshipping it, or is it...
But yeah, because you're going to admire it, you're going... Well, it depends, because everything has a negative or a positive connotation. So you're either going to worship it as something positive or ruminate on it as something negative. Meaning, why did this happen? I can't believe this happened. And then for every second that you use or take up worshiping that idea, that's one second, 1 minute, 1 hour lost to a good thought.
That's what I wanted to say. It occupies your time. Either you like it or you dislike it. So actually, the only way you have to is to avoid it. You should really avoid it with indifference, as for example, Abt says, the opposite of love is indifference. So, in an image that will bother you, that will steal your time, it's better if you don't watch it, if you don't see it.
So interesting about the temple is that if you put your finger on it, which is just above your eyebrow, on both sides of your head, you can actually feel the proof of life, which is your pulse.
Yes, that's true. There is a fantastic scene. You remind me now, Dave. Maybe you have never seen that movie. I would speculate you haven't seen it. Do you know Tarkovsky, the Russian filmmaker? I tried to find that scene. It's exactly about the proof of life, as you say. Give me a minute to find it.
I made a short movie once, 911 Laxey Musical.
Pardon?
I made a short film once. It was called the 911 Laxey Musical. It was about the LAX hoax.
Aha, okay, Lax, yeah.
Laxey, L-A-X-E. And yeah, so I played the part of Nicky Pug.
Oh, I don't know that name.
Was one of the false witnesses of that event.
Ah, okay.
On the airport with no ID, points with no ID, but I was brought down to the ground eventually by the powers that be.
Yeah, but my knowledge
of the structural damage of my if it weren't for the structural damage of my knee, I would have been all right. That's the tie-in with the 9/11.
Yeah.
Because he reminded me of the same the Harley guy. He is a very similar Harley guy.
Okay.
Of 9/11 fame.
I know the Harley guy. I know, yeah.
Doug is the Laxey LAX, version of.
Okay, I have to look into that. Oh, now I don't remember which movie that was. Was it Mirror or was it Ivan's Childhood?
Anyway.
Original, are you there? I have to go on mute for some minutes to find this scene. I want to show it to you. Is that okay?
That's fine.
Yep.
Breaking up a bit.
Huh?
Breaking up.
You still there, Dave?
My voice connected keeps going from red to green.
My reception is really bad there for a minute. I don't know. I think it's better now.
At least now.
Oh, man, I just got off work. You guys talking about the shooting event today?
Well, that's what started. We covered a lot of different things, depending on the hoax of what's called Mandela Effect. I guess I would have to re-listen to it to cover all the different topics we went into, but a lot of ground's been covered.
That's good. Come on, people.
Bring up a movie scene, which by something I said, and she wants to share that.
So you got the left temple, the right temple, right?
Right.
And then when they build the third temple, you know, build your own third temple right in the middle.
Yeah, I guess that's then shown in the third eye, that type of thing.
Right.
So the eye is a lot for just being something that's looking out, as well it should be seen as something that's looking in. Meaning that when you recall a memory or recall a thought or a belief, you're physically looking into your own self. So that's an inward look, not an outward look.
Yeah, all vision is inward, you know, interestingly, right? You open our eyes and the things come into us, you know. It feels like we kind of project them like Cyclops from the X-Men. But really, it all comes in. It's interesting.
Type of thing, but if you get too detailed in that side without moving at a certain pace, people would get lost. Wavelength and, you know, color and tones and tunes and the understanding of the 9/11 destruction code, which is somatics and things like that. The understanding that length itself, you know, wave, a sound, can move things, not only physically move things, but spiritually or mentally move things. Meaning that if I put out a certain wavelength through speech, and that people call, oh, that's a moving speech. Well, the reason that it's a moving speech is because I went ahead and moved you spiritually or physically within your mind to come to a conclusion.
So maverick, so it made.
Uh-huh. Did you have a? Yeah. To hear you. To come back online, he was saying that the guy who plays the Texas governor was doing a channeling of the actor, what's his name, I forget the guy's name,
a channeling of who?
The guy who plays Perry Mason.
Oh, you remember the guy?
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr. Yeah, Raymond Burr. Not Aaron Burr. Maybe he's
Raymond Burr. Yeah, he was channeling.
Same guy,
I guess.
Aaron Burr.
So when he said that, I found that to be funny. So I'm going to have to look into that later. Character that, or the show, he always had a lawyer, right? In a wheelchair.
Was,
I guess he wasn't in a wheelchair. That was
when he was in. The Equalizer. Was it Ironside?
That's where he played a cop. He played a cop in a.
Same guy.
Little ambulance type vehicle that took him around. That was funny.
Dave? Hello, hello?
I'm back. I can hear you.
Hi. I found it, but I realize now that it's almost impossible to understand the scene without knowing the whole movie. I still will put the link into the general stream, and I give you the timestamp of it.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good. I'll take a look at it. Because I'm about to get scooting anyway, so I can do that later tonight.
Yeah, anyone, if you want. The exact scene is, and it's not the temple, it's the main blood artery, or how is that called? On top of the brain, on top of the head, that is shown. So, I would say 5716. 5716, is that a good number that I give you?
Yes.
Because I can choose, actually. I just cut the scene there. But I give you the whole link, so you have to find then that point yourself if you want to see it. It's a great movie, actually, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. I'll take a look.
And Original Simulant has connection problems. I would like to talk to him once. I have never talked to him. You know, and he's writing some interesting things. Original?
Yeah, I'm here if you can hear me.
Hello, hello. I've never talked to you again, and you?
No, I've never talked to you either. Not
okay. Soon. Where are you? In which part of the world?
In Florida.
Ah, in Florida.
In America. Yeah.
Okay, but you are not Waterman Chris?
Waterman Chris? No. No.
Oh, that's another one. He's also from Florida, I think.
I've never met him.
Okay.
Waterman Chris. I don't know if I've ever heard of that guy.
So is that now true that you are a Freemason? Or is that only a game that you have on the streams, on the chat?
No, I would never misrepresent myself like that. No, I'm absolutely a Freemason. Yeah.
You are a Freemason, okay. A real Freemason.
Yeah, absolutely. No, not a simulation of a Freemason.
Okay, and why are you here?
Well, I guess the same reason anybody's here. To learn, you know, community, I guess. Learn, share ideas.
But Freemasons have their communities.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I could leave if you'd like, but I didn't think it was...
No, I didn't say that. That's your words. I just say, you know, I'm really interested that if a Freemason is interested in deception, deconstruction, what does it mean?
Fakeology.
Freemasons create all the deception. Not only Freemasons, but mostly Freemasons.
That's the story, right?
So are you a defected Freemason?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. No. I'm just interested. I've been looking at this stuff for a long time too. So, I found this one on the Discords. So,
okay.
I've listened to Hoaxbusters call a lot in the past. Fakeologist. I mean, but still pretty new here. And I came on right around the time the John Adams catastrophe or whatever. It was kind of like my first foray into this Discord.
When John left, you mean? Or what did John?
I guess did he leave? I don't really know anything. But
yes, he left. Yeah.
I knew there was some kind of falling out, but right around that time.
Ah, okay. So you are new here in this surrounding. Okay. Okay. What do you do as a Freemason? I mean, are you active?
Sure. Yeah. I'm pretty active. I think.
How does the day-to-day life look for a Freemason? Do you go every day to your, what is it called, lodge?
The lodge? No. Everyday life is just like anybody else, except once a month, maybe, or more frequently, you attend the lodge if you would like, if you want to. You know, you're not participation is not required, but for the meetings we have or the to what we call the degree work, you know, and which is like the raising of brothers to different degrees. But other than that, you know, and sometimes we have activities, charity stuff or whatever, but, you know, looks just like anything else. But that's just the lodge. I mean, I'm also a part of York Rite, so we meet so once a month for each of the three bodies within it. So.
Okay. Do I have a question? I'm not sure. But I think I can create a question for you. So,
whatever you want.
Pardon?
No, ask whatever you want. Some questions are harder for me to answer. Like what are you doing here? That's one I've never really thought about before. You know, like, I don't know. Same reason everybody else is here. But other questions I think I can probably answer. If I can't answer something, I'll tell you.
Yeah, sure. I would like to ask you, the Freemasonry is a concept that is quite popular in the United States, at least. And I have happened to see that you are not the first Freemason that is here, that I meet here. And there are not so many people here, you know. So the analogy or proportions, or how you would call it, are somehow that Freemasons are quite interested in fakeology. So is it a topic also in the lodges? Is it a topic among your other brothers or how you call your community? Is it generally a point to discuss about? And
No, not necessarily at all. You know, like it's really no kind of institutional thing to talk about. Not that we really have anything like that, but it's something. I mean, I have other brothers in the lodge that I know that we talk about this kind of stuff, you know. But this stuff, as you guys know, this is further kind of along than where a lot of people are at. You know what I mean? Like, as far as investigating media hoaxes and stuff like that, this area, fakeology and hoaxbusters really are way further along than most people. So, you know, not everybody's ready to talk about that level of deception, even among, you know, even my fellow Masons. So maybe it'd be better to say we talk about some conspiracy theories or something like that, but as far as fakeology, no.
And how come that you took this path, if I'm not going too far? Is that
No. It's just, it's a long answer, I think, but it's just something that I felt, you know, at the time, that, and I still do, but at the time, it was just really called to me, you know, it's just really, I'd studied so much about it, and, you know, just really appealed to me personally. Like, they would say that every man approaches the lodge door for his own reason, you know, and no man has ever asked for their reason. So it's like, it's always like a personal thing, I think, for a lot of people. Why did they do it, you know? And it's just, you kind of feel like you, after seeing so much of it, it's not for everybody, but, sorry, there's an ambulance here. But
now you are answering, I think, why did you take the path of masonry? But I actually wanted to ask, why did you take the path to come here to fakeology, to the deception, deconstruction, let's say?
Oh, I don't know. To learn more about this stuff?
I've seen
it, you know, before I knew about fakeologists, I had been pretty well researched myself into a lot of this stuff. Not every single topic, like so many of you guys are, but in broad terms, you know, there was so much fakery going on. And, so it was just something that always interests me. You can't not see it once you see it. And
can I ask something?
Ask me, yeah.
Okay. So if you were to then or witness people that you knew, the lodge, either yours or anything else, or you recognized them to be Freemasons or any other, you know, associated group, and they were shown to be participating in a hoax, signs and symbols, to communicate to others that they were part of a hoax, what would you choose between, and with Freemasonry or with the truth?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily like that. You're asking me if I saw, like, somehow if I saw one of these.
That's not what I asked you. If you saw, not you know, we're doing an experiment here, a thought experiment.
Yeah,
so let's say in 10 minutes from now, or whatever amount of time, that you hold on, we have to wait.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
You witnessed, you knew to be Freemasons and part of the system, using the office, their official office, onto the population of people that you would call your countrymen or whatever. Would you then subject yourself to the oaths taken as a Mason, or would you side on the side of truth?
I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what oath would preclude me from, I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know, like, if it's someone else doing something, if I saw some Freemasons involved in some kind of trickery or hoaxery or whatever, right, and I knew them to be Freemasons, whatever, I mean, what does that have to do with me?
The thing, would you then allow, let's say that lie that was being perpetrated affected somebody close to you, meaning that it brought them under that spell or that understanding, that person was affected mentally by it. Would you then tell?
If I blow the whistle, right? If I go blow the whistle on some hoaxery or something, if I knew of it, is that what you're saying? I would go tell everybody about it or something.
Would you tell? Yeah. Where would your loyalties lie?
I don't really tell anybody about the hoaxes I see now. You know what I mean? I didn't tell people about it before I joined Freemasonry because it was not a good topic to talk about with people, as you guys know. So
I guess my question is this, though. Would you word this to where you can answer the question?
Would I what? Maybe it's my reception, but I might be breaking up. But I'm trying to hear you and answer you sincerely. But
okay. would you then allow, would your loyalty be with Masonry and or to the truth of a matter if you knew it, to be opposite of what was being put out?
The two shouldn't be in conflict, right? So if that were a, if that were a, an issue, it would be something like, if I saw that or whatever this hypothetical would be, that would be something like, I don't know, I mean, it's like it doesn't, I don't, it wouldn't necessarily represent Freemasonry. You know, it'd represent these people. What, well, you know, how.
Now, let's so, say that they're giving obvious, let's say they're giving obvious sign.
That, like, that's fine that they would give some obvious sign that they were a Freemason, but, like, that doesn't have anything to do with the Grand Lodge or the lodge I belong to, or, you know, if I went and committed some, you know, armed robbery or something as a Freemason, what would, I mean, that doesn't reflect on Freemasonry, does it? I mean, should it? I don't think so. Just one person.
That's not what I asked you, though. So then let's say then that, let's say then that you go to court as an observer and you see a defendant and sign the official, the judge in the matter, and that you can recognize that that person signed them. Would you then tell anybody observing that, hey, that guy just signed him as being a fellow brother or a Freemason, and therefore he got a guilty or an acquittal or something that less than what he would have deserved? Would you bring that up, or would you just be silent on that?
I don't know how one necessarily means leads to the other either, you know. But I don't know, these are very like, I don't know. I mean, how, I can't imagine.
Would you agree, though? Would you agree a fellow Mason can sign to you distress?
I would tell you that Freemasons have modes of recognition, right? We have certain modes of recognition.
Well, so, yeah, that's a given to what I'm saying. So then if you saw one Freemason to another, recognize that the other was giving a sign of distress to the other, would you then say that that person's obligation is to the truth as a whole, or would it be to that fellow Mason?
Well, if someone is giving you this sign of distress you're talking about, wouldn't that mean they're in distress? Shouldn't I try to help them? I don't know.
Let's say that you helping them would then to the society as a whole. Help them, yes, you would take them out of distress. However, that helping them would not then hold them responsible in the eye or within the reality of society itself.
I don't really know. I don't know. I don't know what kind of question. Like.
So just so maybe I'll make it a little bit simpler. So then is your allegiance Masonry as a whole, to brothers or in distress or any other situation, and or to the public as a whole, when it comes to the truth of a matter?
It's the both.
Okay.
Whoever needs the help, I guess, honestly. Yeah.
You can only take one in the boat with you. Which one comes first?
The one, I guess, maybe I'd let them both go and I'd stay. I don't know. No, I really don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't. Would I like save some asshole brother's life over some like, you know, I don't know, kind person or something? I all these weird qualifying statements. I don't know. I'm not bound to like save them or anything like that. No, you know. So
you're not bound to save a brother's life in distress if they sign to you.
You're bound to. You know, you're bound to help each other just like you're bound to help each other in normal society.
Actually, you're not. In normal society, if you see somebody that's on the ground that is requiring first aid, you absolutely are not required by law
to
help.
Right. Of course. You're not required by your oath either, you know, any more than you're required by your conscience to do it to the other way. Then, you know, you're just as bound. It's not this kind of oath that, it's not some kind of like, you know, lawtistic, you know, contract.
I think we might have some broken ground here. So you're saying that as a Freemason, you have no obligation to come to the assistance of another Freemason who signals you.
I have the obligation to help every human being in need.
I don't think we're going to get anywhere further from this. So thank you for your time. That's all I have, Fay, on that series of questions.
That's fine.
You said it is impossible to serve two masters.
Right, of course, right? You can't string two bows, they say, right?
Master.
What?
Who's your master?
I don't know, man. What do they call it? What is the word? What is it called? Soul Invictus, what they say? Isn't that the term that's popular?
Soul Invictus is your master?
No, isn't that what's popular with the Royals? They wear the shirt that says Soul Invictus. I am master of my own fate or whatever.
If you're master of your own faith, that means that you are then your own God. And like I say...
Not so much like that. I was just trying to be a little tongue-in-cheek, but, you know.
What I like to tell people or ask people to do is that, especially those that want to discount the creation as something, is that if they were left in a room, themselves in a bucket...
Sorry, it broke up right when you said bucket.
I said, yeah. I said, if left in a room to create with nothing but a bucket, have a claim to everybody that they created a hat, bucket on their head, and or their creation would stink.
I never discounted creation at all. I'm deeply, deeply invested in that stuff, man.
Then,
personally.
Okay. So then would you, there's a chance that there are those that hold a belief very to good fellowship within Masons can be directed down a certain road that then never gets any farther than a designated end? Maybe what? More to the picture than what you are shown?
Me, you're asking? If I can conceive of that there's more to the picture than I'm shown, so what you're asking?
Yes.
In Freemasonry? Can you believe, can you conceive that there's more to the picture than you're shown in Freemasonry?
Absolutely. That's why I look into it. I'm asking you, but, you know, back to asking you. Can you see that you may be brought to a door and never shown past that door?
Well, this is true in anything in life, right?
Your answer is yes, then?
No, I'm saying in anything in life, it could be true that you're being, like, every string in the world is pulled against you in some secret cabal or something. But in Freemasonry, it's not true, from my experience, you know? Like,
true what? That you've reached the top of Freemasonry?
No, I'm not. I've never been a worshipful master yet. I've never been, so that, therefore, I've never been any officer in the Grand Lodge. So, you know, I guess those two would be the, you know, one preceding the other, but.
So then you going up certain, I want to say around, because you have levels which you are up, and this is where words confuse people. So you have three levels, but then you have a series of degrees, which is nothing more than on a level surface or on a plane would be cardinal direction. So then you have a series of degrees after that. So you have levels and degrees, which indicate two different things. So then would you say then, you've already said that you're a master mason, which is a third level, and that you've gone through a series of degrees, which is, or along the other vertice. Now, along the other vertice, what level have you gone up to?
The Knight Templar in the York Rite. Yeah.
Which is the top level of the tree that Christians go down, correct? Or those that call themselves that?
The what are they called? The chivalric bodies of the York Rite, which would be the Order of Constantine, the Order of Knights of Malta, and the Order of the Temple, or the Knights Templar, specifically the Knights Templar, have Christian overtones.
So then, you have no of the other ladder, right? Or the other branch.
The Scottish Rite?
You claimed you only went so high, so I'm only going by what you're telling me. Have you gone up another path as well?
Have I gone up the Scottish Rite as well? Am I like a 32nd degree Scottish Rite Freemason? No, I'm not. I've never gone there. I know. I have several friends who are, though. but no, I've never gone up it yet.
But that doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't matter. So then, so you're claiming then that, because I'm just trying to understand, because that tells me that there's still something that you have not seen and you have not been told. So there is something more out there. So there is something more, right? The word you might
for
understand.
That, for that,
there's more
that,
light, quote unquote, for you to acquire. Correct?
There could be, I guess. If, you know, that's if you were to join that body. Sure. And
so then, any truth whatsoever, and this is, I'm going to let you tell me, is there any truth whatsoever to a branch called esoteric Freemasonry?
Like, is there some kind of formalized body of degrees called esoteric Freemasonry? Not that I know of. There's no, like, there's so many branches that are within, like, organized, what's called organized regular Freemasonry. There's so many branches, but I've never heard of, and I've been looking at this stuff for a long time. I've never heard of
Mistrum.
Pardon me?
What the rites of Mistrum?
Memphis of Mistrum or whatever. That's, I don't see it. I'm not sure if that's part of organized, what we call regular Freemasonry. I don't think it is. I believe that's part of, like, the French system, like the Oriental Freemasonry. Which is,
Freemasonry, however, correct?
Not, we wouldn't recognize it as such, no. Not in America. And not in the United Kingdom. And not in the other regularly. That would be what we call clandestine Masonry.
Masonry.
Clandestine Masonry, right. That's what we would call that.
A lot of what is called American Freemasonry actually stems from French so-called Freemasonry in what would have been the late 1700s, 1800s, quote unquote.
Some of the degrees, yeah. I'm trying to think how to say it. Like, you have in England in the early 1700s, 1717, I guess, or 1716. This is when all the bodies kind of, the three bodies representing these other bodies came together and kind of formalized Freemasonry. And this was like where you would develop like the main, the main tenets of Freemasonry, basically, like that you have to be you have to have some belief in a supreme being, you know, being a male and the age limit thing. And then,
okay,
go ahead.
I wanted to also go farther and then say then that, you understand, maybe you do, maybe you don't, I don't know. If you look at Pike and so-called American writers who were Freemasons and also wrote about Freemasonry, that they lamented the fact that the keys and or understandings of the symbology of Freemasonry has been lost. And that the degrees that they came up with and rites and so-called question and answers were nothing more than a placeholder.
The lamenting of the wisdom of the quality, of the wisdom traditions has been around since the beginning of the wisdom traditions.
Are you claiming that to be the woman at the pillar with Father Time holding her hair?
No. What's her name? Youth. No. What I'm saying is that since the beginning of all this wisdom tradition stuff for millennia, if you believe that, if not, that's fine. But that people have been lamenting the quality of the candidate, the integrity of the system, the meat, saying.
I think we're missing the point of what I was saying. The understanding of the symbols themselves, meaning there's a concrete knowledge there. So if I say 1 + 1 is plus 2 is this, there's an answer that is given. However, there is no longer anything there. There's no longer so the so-called light or knowledge that is being given is nothing more than a counterfeit. It is nothing more than a placeholder. That even by the so-called leading writers of Freemasonry over the last couple hundred years will admit to the fact that they no longer know. I understand on why they don't know, but you go ahead and you just tell me. So then if you were to make it to the highest level, that, you know, thanks for showing up. It's great to have you here. You've now reached the summit. And if you look out into the distance, you will see that there is more light to be gained. Would you be disappointed?
What now? You make it to the summit and you look out, there's more light, and then what?
And you're told that there's more light to be gained, meaning that I really have nothing to tell you, that, you know, why don't you just go ahead and bugger off and keep at it, but there's more light out there. We haven't even figured it out yet.
Do you think there are Freemasons that don't think that already? I mean, do you think that we believe that we're receiving some kind of, like, breath of God or something from the instruction in the lodge? Is that what you, I mean, that's what I'm,
As I understand it, you're receiving light, which is nothing more than a metaphor for knowledge and or understandings.
So sure, yeah, then, the whole thing's an allegory.
So,
it's all an allegory. It's all a metaphor.
Metaphor and allegory are used to impart something that can be handled properly or if discerned properly. And that may separate the wheat from the chaff a bit.
Right.
So then, like I say, I really just want to boil this back down to a simple question. Is your allegiance, if push came to shove, your Freemason brothers, quote unquote, I use that in quotes, and or to associated whatsoever to Freemasonry, if you had to choose between the two?
Choose between the two? Yeah, between my Freemason brothers and what?
Someone who has no affiliation whatsoever to do with Freemasonry at all and is not a sworn brother.
I just want to know where
your thoughts are. Well, I'm going to try and actually make it easier for you.
I understand. Who do you want to help more? Who do you owe help to more? A stranger or a friend?
And are you saying, and this is what I also want to get to, that you have no obligation, whether it be, you know, or actually spoken in word form by oath, to come to the aid of a brother?
Yeah,
I'm asking.
Well, I mean, I obviously can't reveal anything in the oath, but if it were something like, you have an obligation to help help your fellow man, all of them, everyone.
Okay, but then if, like I say, I think we're missing that.
You're asking
me
like some kind of it's like some kind of dialectic or something, but I can't, you know, I don't have any dialectic tension between the two, personally. Mm. You know, I just don't. Like, you know who my obligation is, first and foremost? And I'd probably say every single Freemason is. It's to their family. Yeah. You know? I mean, I guess I can't say every single one. There's surely anomalies. But people, you know, that's who my obligation is, first and foremost. Every single one of them would think that. You know, if I told them that, none of them would say, oh, oath breaker. I'd probably say.
This is just me. I'm not a Freemason, nor have I ever been, or am I part of any group that is part of that. However, my obligation is to my Creator, period. And all else falls below that. So
I guess I could have gone there too. I think that kind of stuff's assumed, I would have thought. But, you know,
no.
Well, sorry, that assumption was there. But I think the Creator is happiest when you, you know, put your,
I follow
help
the,
your family
the
out.
Light. Of
your family out, you know.
I follow the light of Christ, which is given freely to all
right.
those who ask. Okay, so then, I just wanted to questioning. Sorry if I put you on the hot spot. I didn't mean to.
No, you didn't. I mean, some of the things are so broad. It's like, is there an answer to these questions? It's easy for you to say, yeah, you know, the big thing. I follow God. Well, what if God told you to hoax people, you know? I mean, who doesn't? What kind of, find me some criminals who don't say they follow God, you know? The televangelists are full of it. It's just like, you know
you're talking about liars and hypocrites.
Well, yeah, you know.
And spiritual murderers.
Right, right. But
you're going with that.
What?
However, and I don't know if you accept it or not, that the Freemason's signature all over the histories And that should be known. And especially with NASA. NASA is a huge Freemason hoax. Yeah.
Who's a Freemason? Is the guy who's running NASA now a Freemason?
Or it's based off Freemasonry.
It's a woman. It was a woman, I think, running it now. But is she a Freemason?
Eastern Star. She would be Eastern Star if she was a woman, wouldn't she?
Well, I mean, if she were in the Eastern Star, she would be. Or it should be like once there's some other body she could be a part of too. But they're you know, what are they called? Appendant or associated bodies, I think is actually the word. But they're not actually Freemasons. So. Not in the American system.
And then you look at Apollo 11 and things like that. The characters that still wander about, and they don't care if you know it or not.
Why would they?
Because there's an understanding that a spiritual building that's being built upon thoughts and ideas and a foundation. So if the foundation is corrupt, and I'm saying that it is, the foundation that was laid by those that put Freemasonry ahead of else, let's say they put that ahead of others that are not Freemasons, so-called, that foundation that was laid is in fact corrupt. And everything built on that foundation to this day, the second, is in fact corrupt. So I'm also fully aware that not everybody involved within that machine where the driver's going. I understand that.
What makes you so sure of that?
So it's kind of like when you work at a business, all right? As a worker in that business, I guarantee you that you do not know what the CEO is thinking.
Well, you have a CEO, okay? So this is one. How did the CEO get there?
That's what?
Was he elected from among the workers? I'm just curious.
In this hypothetical?
Sure, yeah. Well, Jay, I'm curious about why the popular idea is, that at the top, these things happen. These things can happen or secretly happen, something like this. But at the bottom, no, people don't know it, right? Well, why does that assumption come from? Why isn't it just as likely that everyone at the bottom does know? Whatever you call the bottom.
It's absolutely impossible that you understand or know the intentions of those that are above you, unless you're a mind reader. Are you a mind reader? And does Freemasonry teach mind reading?
No, it doesn't. You're only above thing too, but like they're only quote unquote above you for.
Okay, yeah, it's kind of the old saying that everybody's got a boss. All right.
And every year,
he's got a boss
from among people amongst whom I could be one. You know,
are you in charge of the Freemasons of the United States?
There's no one in charge of the Freemasons of the United States. Every state. This is another popular misconception. Every state has a Grand Lodge.
You have Grand Lodges. I understand all that, but then you have a Council of Grand Lodges.
No, you don't.
Are you in charge of your Grand
Lodge? Council of Grand Lodges? I've never heard of this Council of Grand Lodges.
Every year, they meet every year, don't they?
No, I've never heard of anything like this. There might be a meeting what are they called? But they change every year. Every single one of them changes every year.
Yeah,
or maybe 2 years in some jurisdictions. I'm not sure. Maybe 2 years in some.
Do meet, and what are they meeting about?
They would be. I'm not 100% sure that they do meet every year, but I think they might.
5 years, 10 years, whatever. When they do meet, what are they meeting about?
Probably to plot the control of the world, right?
Why would you use the word
probably?
No, I don't
know. Probably because I'm trying to be cute.
Because
you don't know. Because you say you don't know. So I say, how do you know?
You don't know what they're talking about, right? I'm talking about you.
I think I could go, in fact, actually. I think I could go.
Then maybe when you go, you can go ahead and find out what they're talking about.
Okay, let's say I did.
But until then, you don't know what they're talking about, right? It doesn't. Now you're just gonna make something up.
Well, you're making it up. You're making something up.
Just decided you agreed that they do meet. We're just not sure on how often.
They might. But yeah. But anyway, it changes all the time. So you're talking about this entrenched control structure or whatever. If some annual meeting is held, whatever, that's fine. There's no overreach from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, between lodge to lodge, or between Grand Lodge to Grand Lodge. The Grand Lodge of Illinois has no more control over the Grand Lodge of Kentucky. Kentucky does over the Grand Lodge of New York at all. I mean, it's not that they each have equal control. They're all autonomous under their own charter or constitution.
Fine. However, then are the degrees, do each of them have three levels and then the various degrees?
Yeah, there's a uniformity of degrees, sort of. But yeah, go ahead.
And if you are a Master Mason in one jurisdiction, can you then visit another jurisdiction as a traveler, let's say, and then sit?
In lodges that would that you recognize your Grand Lodge, yeah. So let's say like the Grand Lodge of France, for example, or like the Oriental Masonry. I think what a lot of people, when they think about like this revolutionary side of Masonry or whatever, I think what they're really talking about is basically French Masonry, Oriental Masonry, atheistic Masonry. And I think they confuse the two, you know, as if they're one, when really they're not at all one. Does that make sense?
Does Hiram Abiff play a role in Oriental Masonry?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I'm not a, it's, you know, like I said, clandestine Masonry. The problem with clandestine, Masonry is there's no, like, you could start your own Masonic lodge and you'll see it all over the place. You'll see this stuff everywhere where, you know, you start your own lodge, basically, wherever you live. You start Dave J's, you know, worshipful lodge number 50, whatever. And now you're giving out degrees and stuff. And people do it, you know, go to that stuff. But it's not regular Freemasonry. It's just a kind of a bastardization. But if you think that, you know, I'm trying to think how to say it. Like, there's no uniformity between that stuff either from, you know, these small, you know, slap together deals to the next one.
So then if I were to tell you that French Freemasonry has the character known as Hiram Abiff.
Mm-hmm.
Surprised then, right?
No, I don't know if I'd be surprised. Freemasonry doesn't own Hiram Abiff.
In the sense that, in the story used, it's pretty much is a Freemasonry extended story. Because if you're just speaking about the use of Hiram within in the Bible as a builder, a little bit said of a Hiram. However, the entire story of kings and a master mason called Hiram Abiff and Delta syllables, for lack of a better term, of a word which had been broken up and then a part was lost, a reported death of a character.
So you're asking about like
story.
If we don't, but Freemasons don't
story,
like
period.
We don't own it. You know, it's part of the mythology or whatever, the culture of it. But it's not like there's a fucking copyright on it or something. You know, anybody can do it. Anybody can say it. Anybody can come up with whatever they want, not within regular Freemasonry and be recognized. But
that statement doesn't mean anything. That statement doesn't mean anything.
Sorry,
it doesn't really matter because then it doesn't mean, no, that statement you just said doesn't mean anything because a couple of guys in their garage could play act as well. Right. However, it means a lot to Freemasonry.
I mean, if you say so.
The Freemasonry through the first three levels. Yeah, sure does. Although it does lose its charms. And I use charms in the word like a spell would be used.
I know you.
When you go up at higher levels, when you talk about Demolé and when characters like that come in and the revenging of reported deaths of the of knights and things like that, that character
revenge.
Kind of
revenge.
Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about that.
Okay, so anyways, we're good.
All right. Well, I actually have to go to my other freaking job right now and go finish painting these cabinets. So, sorry, man. Like, we'll try to think, like, I don't know, write out some question maybe or something, and it'd be maybe easier for me to have a more fluid answer, or maybe one that's more satisfactory or something. You know, it's just hard to try to just dialogue it. It's stuff. All right, man. I'll see you guys.
See you around, Rolo.
Dave, you leaving? Original left?
No, I'm here.
Ah, you're here. I was listening, but I was doing this stuff with the lists.
Parallel,
so that's why I didn't talk. Did Original Simulant leave now?
Do a job, I guess.
Ah, okay. Okay, but he's staying in the live stream. I didn't understand everything you said because I was interrupted, of course, but you were talking about the Oath of Masonry? What did you understand of that, Dave? Mm-hmm. What do they do exactly?
He would be the best person to ask about that. I was just trying to get some understandings of allegiance, things like that.
Yes, but what did you understand what the oath is? I say that because you got a compliment from Salt Per Day. I compliment you, Dave J., on establishing, actually, right, the effect of the Oath of Freemasonry. So I became curious, what did you establish?
Oh, well, here's the thing, because it's a bit, it's like pulling teeth, I think, when you're speaking with a Freemason who is obligated by their oath not to reveal anything. So he has an oath, so-called, not to reveal. So what I was doing was I was Franken manuscript and several other things that are within Freemason history. And these are, of course, the question and answers and stories which come, in fact, we were speaking with, which come from France, just so happens, the Franken manuscript. And my question to him was that if he had brother in distress, agents be to that brother in distress to help them out versus just a normal, you know, everyday person who had no affiliation with that group, they could only choose one. You know, which one would you then choose? I was asking, do you have an oath, an allegiance to that brother to help them out? You do. That's my understanding, all right? And I was trying to get that from that he has the allegiance or the obligation to help all mankind, which is, that's like trying to say I want to help everybody who exists. That doesn't mean anything. Answer to my question. So then
for the United Nations, I think.
So I then asked, you know, if you are in a courtroom, and you witness a Freemason signing. And when I use the word signing, I mean passing nonverbal signs. If you witness a defendant, let's say, signing the judge, and then that then happens to result in a favorable sentence or finding for that person, would you then tell somebody that, hey, I just saw this happen, hoots, you know? Mm-hmm. Who have a nonverbal agreement, even if you and I know a sign, if I pass you a sign and you understand the meaning of it, and then you react and give me a result, we're in cahoots, a conspiracy, all right? So then I asked him if that is, would he then bring that to the attention of others, and he hem and hawed on that. So I think that I did more talking and laid out what I felt. If somebody was listening, they would understand what I was trying to get to. However, I don't think that I cracked up the Knight of Malta. Okay. Because he's a Knight of Malta, so I don't believe I cracked his armor very, very much. However, I did leave out there that if people want to look into it for themselves, they can.
For me, it's I'm sure that in Switzerland also there are all these clubs, as I say. But I have never met anyone, you know. Maybe they couldn't tell me or they wouldn't tell me, but I don't think that I have met anyone, and I have no idea, you know, I have no imagination. What do they do, and of what consists all this stuff, except what we read in the several internet outlets? And I think that is mostly propaganda, you know, that's advertising.
Yeah, well, so you have writers who go by the name of, let's say, Manly P. Hall, and...
I don't know them.
Yeah, these are...
Okay.
Yeah, these would be Freemasonic writers, right? And what they do is, if you read, let's say, even with Albert Pike, writers who Albert Pike and Manly P. Hall, they're looked at as being establishment Freemasons, meaning that these are people who would be considered not only Freemasons but also authorities on Freemasonry. And when you read their writings, they lament, and this was what I was trying to get to as well, that they lament there is the lost understanding of Freemason symbols and symbology. So there, and this was, you know, close to, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, right? So if that's then the case, then what you have today is merely just even less of an understanding than you did then. And at that point, they were lamenting the fact that they had no idea what was going on. They were just placing replacing what they thought it might mean, or putting placeholders in effect. And then I was told that's always been like that. He told me, no, the lamenting is more to the point that they're lamenting the fact that there's been lost knowledge forever. And then I was trying to get to the point that the rites of Misrim and things like that really goes back to what's called the mystery religions and things like that, and Mithra, and eventually works itself back into what I see as being the true root of Freemasonry, which is the outspring or the seed of Cain. It is an outcropping or a tree or the fruits of a plant that was planted by one called Cain.
Okay.
So then, that's, of course, I wasn't able to get that far because that's a lot farther down. That goes to the actual genesis of what's called now Freemasonry, which is what I consider to be nothing more than the fruits and the rotten fruit, right?
I don't know, really. For me, it would be just interesting to know, you know, how are they involved in power structures? And I have no estimation, really. I tend to believe that maybe some of the Masons are in high-level power positions, but the whole systemic stuff that we call Masonry is maybe just like the Catholic Church or something. They have everywhere, they have some churches, and they're really, really very popular in other times. They were very popular, and now they have left a quite dense structure, but not everyone who goes there is really involved in anything that has to do with power distribution. They are more on a local level.
Well, that's what I was also asking about, his understanding of how then do you understand, or if you look at, let's say, a lot of the historical hoaxes, and the main characters are in fact self-professed Freemasons. And I said, then how do you then know, you know, what the upper level Masons are up to?
Yes.
You then know that I'm not upper level. Then I asked, are you then upper level? Mm-hmm. You know, are you? Then, you know, then you may know. But then I tried to bring up the understanding of if you work at a company, the workers at a company don't necessarily know what the CEO is thinking or what the company is. They only know what's put out in press release and or, let's say, at company meetings, a general mission statement or what they see the next year, 2 years, 3 years are going to bring. But from day to day, you don't know what that person's thinking. manipulations or what changes they're putting in. I mean, unless you are there with them. Unless, and then I asked, does Freemasonry teach mind reading? Because maybe that was an aspect I didn't think of. And of course he said no. And would all, you know, because I was trying, you know, how somebody could then say that they know of leadership. And he said, well, there is no leadership. There's just the grand, you know, the grand lodges, which are then in charge of jurisdictions, which then each jurisdiction has lodges within it. But yeah, I get all that. However, there is an overarching.
So it must be very efficient if they don't realize it on the bottom. You know what I mean? If power is efficient and strong, you don't realize it. It's like you think it is not natural. It is very very good distributed or very good hidden or very good diffused would be better.
Diffused. I wasn't even able to get, you know, this would go down more Cain and the seed of Cain and all that stuff I was talking about earlier, but just the spiritual driving force or the subconscious driving force or the unconscious driving force of the organization, which is something that I wanted to get into, but of course
what get is there. But with the seeds of Cain? Is that the biblical Cain or another Cain?
Cain, yeah. So then if you have let's just say that it is a seed of the tree, the branches of the original other power structure. I put other in quotes.
Mm.
But then I also asked about a conference or a meeting of, and I was told there is none, but of course there is. If you, even if you look up Conference of Grand Masters, so, you know, you have to wonder then what they're talking about. Right, so there seems to be a lot of wordplay involved, and just like I tried to then express, you know, I understand if you say there's more than three levels, they say, oh no, there's only three levels, and I think I have that understood to where if you tell them this way, there's three levels, but then various degrees, and degrees then span out on a plane in front of you, not above you. And then that's a way of speaking to them to where they really have no recourse, deny you an answer. Because one of the biggest things of obfuscation is to change the subject. If I say something or ask something of you, if I can change the subject on you by taking exception to some word you used or an inflection you used, you never did answer the question. You just derailed the conversation. Tangent, right? So then I was trying to keep it as concise as possible.
Yes.
And it's one of those things that I was doing what I could.
Yeah. But have you ever read about them, the theories and, what they...
Everything that I'm speaking of and everything that I brought up is a result of my looking into all of this.
Okay. So you know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
because I'm only speculating, you know, when I talk about Masonry. You have no idea, actually. What are these Frankian protocols, or what did you mention?
The Frankian manuscript? Now, this is what's reported as being, I believe, I want to say the date is 1783. That's just off the top of my head. That's the date of a so-called publication. And what that was it was a Frenchman who then brought over the French degrees, which... is called the Oriental degrees. I believe that those are the same. Over to what's called the United States or to the colonies, and then that is what led into the degrees used by Americans. Okay, and then Albert Pike is the one who then. And there's a couple of iterations between then and Pike, and even since Pike, I'm sure there's been iterations. But then, as each iteration happens, you lose something of the original. Copy of something. Each copy is slightly faded. The last so-called original. So then, anyways, the Franken manuscript is something that it was supposed to have been the preserved rights of the French system, which was brought over to the United States back in the late 1700s, which is what that's about. And I've read through all that. I've gone through all that.
Okay.
Per word.
I was always under the impression that this constitutional rights and constitution were simultaneously somehow erupting in the new land of the United States in those years and in the mainland.
My understanding of the United States as it is was and always was meant to be a machine and a monetary machine for the larger
colony.
United States is meant to be the workhorse, meaning that for the production that the United States produces, it produces the international so-called police force.
Yes, it's the military apparatus.
It produces a lot of machinery, which then gets outsourced once it's to a point of you know being able to be produced cheaper in other places. But then as a result of that, the nation of the United States gets to live at a slightly higher comfort level.
Is that true? Really higher comfort level? I don't have an image about the United States, how is life there, etc. What we read here in the magazines is that 40% of U.S. Americans live under the existential minimum. 40%, that means every fourth child.
You're reading something that's produced by the machine that's given you.
Yes, of course. That's what I'm trusting.
So then, from my travels around, the United States, the average poor, so-called, quote-unquote, poor American has got a TV and blah, 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 and all this other nonsense. However, when you go to, let's say when I travel to the Philippines and places like that, that average poor person, floor, all right?
Yeah.
Literally. And so there is degrees of so-called being poor.
But they are lucky because they don't have a TV.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you.
Watch TV all the day.
Because in the evenings over there, you sit in what's called the shade, which is on the beach, and it's just a shaded or covered, almost like two benches. It has a shade, and it's purposely placed so that the wind, the onshore wind, goes through it. So it's kind of like a built-in air-conditioned little area. And then you speak to each other. You talk to each other.
Yes, I know that was earlier also in Greece, normal.
And you know everybody, and they know you. Yeah, it is a different. So it may be poor in material goods, but rich in relation.
Yes, in real life, let's say. Yeah.
Right.
But so if I understand that right, or I'm now speculating again, you don't believe that Freemasonry is a positive force for the world.
I do not know.
Okay. Actually, my biggest problem is this with obedience to some oaths, or I could not accept it.
I had a bit of a trouble, let's just say, trying to pin down an understanding so that everybody could then, walk away with a clearer picture of that. And I say in getting an answer that I was satisfied with.
Yeah. But I find it also somehow strange that, there is yet, we talk about original Simulant as an example only, not as a person, because I don't know him. It's just an example. And he is in a, let's say, closed ideological or imaginary community, which has rules that have to do with, actually these are military rules, because an oath and obeyance, or how is the right word, it's a military type of creating a community. And he is part of such a community and comes to a surrounding of ecologists, where the main actually object of this surrounding is to deconstruct deceptions, deceptive events, lies, highly constructed concepts of for pushing agendas with false information and all this stuff. And so it's a complete strangeness in that decision. How can you explain such a decision? I mean,
especially with your the idea of the blue wall, which is what here in the United States the police are what's called the blue wall, meaning that they protect each other, and then also that a lot of your police forces are in fact also associated with that. A lot of them are Freemasons. So then that was very interesting to me. I asked, and I was trying to get an answer, that it was quite simply this. If you saw someone who you knew to be a Freemason perpetrating a hoax, tell people that you know that this is in fact a hoax, a lie, a scam, both to that other so-called brother, in quotes, to protect them. And I couldn't get an answer.
I think, you know, that's now only how I view it. I don't really know if it's right, but I...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Then it doesn't matter what you do afterwards. You are always in this first, whatever it is, the oath to this or that master or fictitious element or ideology or leader or whatever. You are always actually able to betray. And so I would guess that if one Mason would have a reason according to some, worldly of the real world, of the social world or something, reasons to say something about another Mason, he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because like you were saying about the two masters, and the quote would be, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other.
No, it's worse. It's worse, Dave. It's worse because the oath binds you. The oath binds you to a definitive loss of the ability of being at all someone who could choose between two masters. You are just subjected to that. It doesn't matter any. It is out of indifference for the second master. You know,
it makes
the second master indifferent in the whole. It annihilates him. It suspends him. Something like that.
Absolutely. So then what do you think, what would be their purpose for being here other than to skate or to throw wrenches in the works from time to time? Because you would almost think that this is counterintuitive for them to be here, being that a lot of what we discuss to their brother's so-called quote-unquote actions.
I will say, though, something which from the words is not very good dressed, very well dressed, because I haven't better words just now, but I hope you understand it. I think that this whole thinking of fakeologists and analysis and deconstruction of deceptive practices, psyops, pseudoscience, manipulation, etc., etc., is in fact the only, and I say that very conscious, that it is the only that I have found, at least, or have identified, that has a real hypostasis today, is the only really spiritual art of existing today in all this deception that we are, you know. And spiritual here has not any meaning of spirituality, theory or ideology or something, but just of the mind, of the thinking space or whatever. I cannot say it better. And so in a good case, I can imagine that someone like Original Simulant comes here and wants to listen and to talk and to exchange, but from a secure position. You know, he can leave afterwards. He is not obliged to do anything. He must not participate in anything. But he has the curiosity for this kind of spirituality, as I call it, which is, I don't know. Was that understandable?
It's very close to what I was speaking with to you about earlier, about the when I speak about spiritual, this, that, or the other thing. It's a state of mind.
Yes.
It is a state of being. Now, when being, meaning that are you being lied to? Are you being told the truth? Are you being led astray? Is it by purpose, by ignorance, by what? So my only just, I guess I do understand in that boredom that they do it. However, I don't see the upside for them that they're doing here other than just to keep an eye on things for their own purposes, and I don't know what that would be.
Yes, it's for their own. I think it's this curiosity. Maybe they can profit personally of it. I don't believe that they are, let's say, spying or something. At least I don't believe it about Original Zululand at the moment.
Yeah, you wouldn't announce yourself if you were.
Yes, I have no reason to believe it. I have no reason to suspect it also, you know, because he hasn't given me any reason till now to suspect it. Just because he's a Mason, I don't think he is a suspect, because I don't believe that the Masons have any strategy to whatever, I don't know, to find out what people think that analyze psyops, for example. I don't think there is any such strategy, so that they would decide to send some people there to have a look. I think it's out of personal motivation, and maybe because this whole concept of masonry, as you indicated earlier, is also, you know, the generations change, and every new generation doesn't have any contact with the previous knowledge or traditions. And I can imagine, for example, that most of them don't know that the cities in the United States are built with the architectural plans of some theories of great, I don't know, sun worshipping or whatever. They have no idea. They just go there and try to contact with others. And, yeah, I don't know if that, I faded out, I think. We're talking some hours here, huh?
So I was just about to close it down because it's getting,
I got to
do some things. So, yeah.
Cool.
So I want to say I enjoyed the talk with you today. We'll do it again.
Yes, we'll do it again, and have a good time, Dave. See you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Shane from Ireland. I would like to recommend Fakeologist.com for all your truths.